Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. We're going to read down through verse 21. Mark 8, 1 through 21, this is God's word. During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They've already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance." His disciples answered, "But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them?" "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. "Seven," they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 men were present. And having sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha. The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus. To test him, they asked him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and said, "Why does this generation ask for a miraculous sign? I tell you the truth, no sign will be given to it." Then he left them, got back into the boat, and crossed to the other side. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for 1 loaf they had with them in the boat. "Be careful," Jesus warned them. "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." They discussed with one another and said, "It is because we have no bread." Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of broken pieces did you pick up?" 12, they replied. "And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you pick up?" They answered, 7. He said to them, "Do you still not understand?" May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Has anybody heard the news stories out there about how much wealth has disappeared this year? I mean, you know, people's investments, tanking. Anybody else notice that? Anybody? I mean, I'm catching that in the news as people, many of whom are terribly worried about the upcoming election, midterms. We don't want to paint this too dark, but inflation is still going up despite the fact that interest rates are going up and people's savings seems, depending on where it was invested, to be going down. Oh no, what'll we do? Jesus had been teaching a crowd of people for 3 days And they hadn't had a meal. They were without food in the middle of nowhere. And Jesus had compassion on them. And he said, we can't just send them away without feeding them. Some of them come a long distance and they would collapse on the way. Do you think Jesus really did have compassion on them, or was he just kind of setting up the next miracle? No, Jesus doesn't lie. Jesus actually has compassion on people. You and I need to remember that sometimes when our circumstances are such that we think, if God had compassion, I wouldn't be in this situation. These people were out of food, and they had a journey ahead of them. And the disciples thought, okay, logistically, this is a nightmare. Okay? We got 4,000 men, it looks like, and it wasn't just a men's meeting. So a lot of people, thousands of people, and we're in the middle of nowhere. Where are we going to get food? Now you say, oh, that's a dumb question. I mean, Jesus had recently fed 5,000 men plus women and children. And he did it using a little boy's lunch. They all saw that. They all experienced it. They were the ones who had to go out and distribute the food to the people and then gather up 12 baskets full of pieces afterwards. But now they're facing a situation that's actually not quite as dire. Fewer people, more resources. And as they face this situation, once again, they're thinking, oh, I don't know how he's going to do it this time. What a bunch of dummies. Do you see yourself in this passage? I'll tell you, when I look at this passage and try and figure out which character I'm going to be playing, it's not Jesus, okay? Maybe I get to be one of the people out there who's just hanging on Jesus' words and not even thinking about food. But actually, based on the things God has done in my life, I'd say, no, I'm one of the disciples. I know God has infinite power. And I know that he's compassionate and he does merciful things for people. But where are we going to get food for this crowd? I mean, where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them? How many times have I thought, boy, I just don't see how God's going to pull this off. After all the things he's done. I tell stories more often on weekdays to the kids here because I want them to realize that God really does answer prayer in miraculous ways. And so I tell about various things God has done for me over the years. And some of them I know just seem silly to people. I've told my wife, if I heard some other preacher telling that story as something that he believed God did for him, I would be very skeptical of that preacher, okay? The reason I go ahead and tell the stories is because the kids love them, and they're true. They're true stories of what actually happened. And one of the most famous ones around here that people ask me to tell at least once a year is the purple sneaker story. Now, I'm not going to tell the purple sneaker story this morning. If you haven't heard the purple sneaker story, it's coming, okay? But basically, I needed new shoes, and I prayed that God would give me a pair of leather Converse All-Stars because they were the coolest shoes in the early 1970s. Leather Converse All-Stars. If you had those, you were impressive. And so I prayed. And God miraculously provided me with a pair of leather Converse All-Stars. Isn't that cool? But there's a caveat. I didn't specify the color. So God gave me purple. I didn't want purple shoes. I wouldn't want purple shoes of any kind. I mean, no, thank you. It just, that was not what white guys wore in the 1970s, okay? But God gave me purple sneakers. Why? So that every day that I ever wore them, someone would ask me, where did you get those shoes? Or what's with the color purple? And I got to tell the story of how my God answers prayer and provides what his children need. And by the way, purple is the color of royalty, and I am a child of the king. But after all the things God has done, I still have to be reminded again and again. When there was a startup church plant down on Cape Cod, they wanted me to come as their pastor, and I'd been down there and visited, and it was pretty clear God was calling us to go down there. We were living comfortably in the Boston suburbs, and so I thought, okay, we'll do this. God is leading. We'll go. And then I found out that the price of housing was way beyond our budget. We had budgeted $500 a month for housing based on a $15,000 a year salary. And, you know, that's going to be tight. But $500 a month, God grant it. We'll step out in faith, trust God. We found out that housing in Chatham on Cape Cod in 1980 was going for $500 a week. And they wanted me to start in the summer, and that's when the peak tourist season is. And $500 a week, no way that was going to fit in our budget. And that was all that was available. That wasn't the most expensive thing. That wasn't the average thing. That was the cheapest thing we could find. Renting from a Christian family that had a complex of rental cabins. That was the best deal we could get, $500 a week. Lord, how are you going to do this? So I told my wife the update. This is the situation. And I said, shall I tell the folks in Chatham that we will come if we can find affordable housing? And she said, you shouldn't go unless you know it's God's will. And if it's God's will, he'll take care of the housing. I love her because over and over and over and over and over, she has been the voice of God saying to me, don't you believe what you preach? I mean, if this is God's will, he'll take care of it. Let me just tell you, there's much more to this message. There's much more to this text. But if you want to get the bottom line, if you're doing what God is telling you to do, you don't have to worry about money. What if I don't have any? That's not a problem for God. Jesus demonstrated that you can get across the lake even if you don't have a boat. Remember? Walk on water if that's what's needed. So, I said yes to you're exactly right. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. And we went to Chatham, and God blessed and provided. That's just one of a gazillion examples of how over and over and over and over and over and over and over God provides.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do three things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So Jesus said, "How many loaves do you have?" By the way, that's always a good question, and it is a part of a biblical pattern in the Old and New Testament. When God is getting ready to do something, He doesn't need our help, but He wants us to have some gauge of what He does. And so He will say to us often, "Well, what have you got? What are you bringing to the table?" Not because it's like, "Oh, I don't know if I can do it with that." 5 loaves, 2 fish, okay, we'll work with that. Oh, 7 loaves and a few fish, okay. What God shows us over and over again is that what we bring is not enough. He's not doing that to embarrass us. He's doing that so that afterwards we don't think, "Oh, well, I didn't know that 7 loaves could go so far." Okay? You remember Gideon? You remember Gideon, Old Testament guy, God raises him up. He's crouching down in a wine press trying to separate the wheat from the chaff. That's a sticky place to be doing it. I mean, it was just, he was terrified of the foreign invaders. And he's just trying to get some food together. And God says, sent an angel of the Lord and said, "You're a mighty warrior. You may not know it, but you're a mighty warrior. And I'm going to use you to bring freedom from the enemy to my people." And Gideon tried to talk his way out of it. And God wouldn't take no for an answer. So finally, after God had done miracles, Gideon rounded up an army. And that army that he put together was so outnumbered by the enemy that it was a joke. The only way that Gideon's army could possibly prevail is if God supernaturally intervened and God said, "You got too many guys." "Have you counted? You can't be serious. What do you mean?" God said, "Tell all the ones who are scared to go home." "Okay, anybody who is afraid, you can go home." It was a stampede in the opposite direction. Okay? They were left with just a skeleton crew. Gideon's like, "You really think that was a good idea?" God says, "Well, it was a start. I want to see how they drink. Tell them to go down and get a drink from the stream. Now, I'm going to separate them according to how they drink. Do they put their face down on the water and lap, or do they scoop it up with their hands and lap like that out of their hand?" God gave Gideon 300 survivors from that screening process. Talk about vetting. 300? How's this going to work? God says, "I just wanted you to have a number you could count." Because what I'm about to do, if I'd worked with the larger group, they would have thought they were the best army in the history of the world. But instead, now everybody is going to know that the only reason for your success is because God, the Lord, has done this. So Jesus said, "How many loaves do you have?" They replied, 7. And so he told the crowd to sit down on the ground. We've said it numerous times, but it bears repeating. God works his miracles in the context of obedience. He always gives people something to do. Now, what did they have to do in order to see a miracle? Just sit down. Just sit down. Not asking you to do push-ups. Not asking you to balance on your head. Just sit down. As the people obeyed, Jesus took the 7 loaves and gave thanks, and then broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. And afterward, the disciples picked up 7 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. Wow. Unbelievable. That is unforgettable. Until a few verses later. Meanwhile, the Pharisees show up and they say, we'd like to see some kind of sign from heaven. Why? Not because they were going to make up their mind and believe, but because they were determined not to believe. No matter what Jesus did, I need something else. I need something more. I know a fellow who years ago was wrestling with a decision. It was a tough decision. And he said, in order for me to do this, God would have to do this and this and this. Any one of those would be a miracle. But I would need all three. God did all three within 24 hours. And my friend said, wow, I'm really going to have to pray about whether or not to do that. Is our problem when it comes to faithful obedience that we're just really not sure? Mark Twain said, the parts of the Bible that bother me are not the ones I don't understand, but the ones I do. And that's where most of us are a lot of the time. We know what God says and we think, wow, yeah, I guess I probably should. So I will really think about that. Jesus said, why does this generation ask for a miraculous sign? I tell you the truth, no sign will be given to it. Is that because Jesus didn't do any signs? No, Jesus did lots of signs. But he's talking about those who don't want to believe. If you don't want to believe, you're not going to see it. An atheist is willfully ignorant. Romans 1 says they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. The heavens are declaring the glory of God. The firmament shows forth his handiwork. Day after day pours forth speech. Night after night shows knowledge. You can't live on this planet and honestly think it's all by chance. It just somehow, poof, happened. Maybe it took a long time to get here, but you know, I think it's all an accident. Yes, study the way an eye works. Study the radar system of a bat. And if you think that's all by chance, you're either not being honest or you're clinically insane. You don't have to be intelligent to recognize the evidence for the Creator is all around us.
That's all the time we have for today, but we hope that you're enjoying this talk. Be sure to tune in next time, Lord willing. We'll bring you the conclusion. You won't want to miss it. Meanwhile, please pray for us and consider making a contribution to allow us to continue to care and minister to children from crisis family situations here at Ware's Valley Ranch. More information on this ministry, please call us at 866-41-ABIDE or visit our website, wvr.org. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.